Welcome, everyone, to the Just Okay Show. That's where you get to be the co-host. That's right. You ever wanted to co-host a podcast before? I know I have. I've always just been the main and only host. Never had three others with me. My name is Patrick, of course, or Guido, whatever you prefer. And on this show, we have a strict open door policy. That's right. The door's always open for anyone to come on. Just come on and co-host it with me. Come chat it up. It's an easy hang. Such an easy hang. Please, someone. If you want to do that, just log on to the Discord, discord.gg/justokay, and pop in the podcast channel while we record. Assign yourself that podcast tag, and then you'll get notified whenever someone comes on in or whenever we start recording. And you can just come in here, raise your hand to speak, and we'll have a grand time. That's what I think.
We're just okay, and this is a show. It's the Just Okay Show.
Of course, this episode is special because I've opened the door far before it started. In fact, I opened the door a week ago. And since I've opened that door, I've had a man living with me. He's been living in my humble abode, using my toilet paper, sucking on my chicken legs. Doing all sorts of stuff in my house. So I figured might as well just let him come on and do the whole show with me. And of course, I'm speaking of the one and only Russell, a.k.a. Biggie Size 89. Y'all ready for this?
Oh, you're not ready. You are not ready, baby. I am so pumped to be here. Yeah, I've been hanging out at Guido's place, you know, go hang out in the basement a little bit, you know, kind of push around the Millpool bodies for fun. Last night, I cuddled up with Killer over in your garage. You know, that was pretty nice.
Killer. Now, if we're going back into the lore of the podcast, I believe Killer killed us. Didn't we all die on the last episode?
Oh, shit. You're right. I forgot all about that. This is
I'm a ghost right now.
Oh, yeah. Who was I cuddling up with then?
I don't know. It could have been Vincent, the game developer. He's a shady character.
Could have been. I always pictured him being a little scrawny, though. This guy was definitely a little bit rounder.
Oh, yeah. He had a little meat on his bones.
Yeah, just a little. Maybe I was hugging a bunch of Millpool bodies. That could have been the case.
That could have been the case. Also, I haven't seen Millpool in a long time. He could have just, it could have just been Millpool and he gained a little weight.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That could be the case. I've been listening to the old episodes. I've never gone through the entire catalog. And it honestly has been a blast. And you speak of the toilet. I listened to an episode you were talking about, like, toilet etiquette, where people kept, like, shitting behind the toilet. And you're like, well, how in the world does that even happen?
Yeah, well, you know, when you work in a public service kind of environment, you're going to run into some bathroom issues.
And too true.
A lot of people, they have trouble using turlets.
Which is so, I don't get it either. And that's something, I didn't use any of the toilets when I was over in Paris, well, you know, other than in our hotel room. But Megan was saying, like, some of the older bathrooms she went into, like, they didn't have a place where you could sit. But it wasn't quite like the, you know, the squatty ones that are, like, in the Middle East that where that's pretty common. But it's just odd. Their toilet game over there is a little different.
Yeah, that sounds a little strange. Yeah, I don't get it. It's like it's the third thing you learn, right? First you learn how to communicate. Then you learn how to walk. And then you learn how to use the toilet. Those are like three big milestones.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's only one time, I've never told this story before, like one time I like actually shit myself in public. And I felt so bad because I'd like eaten some really bad Indian food. And I was trying to get into this bathroom in a gas station. And I got to the toilet and it just went, baby. Oh my God. I felt so terrible. I was like, how in the hell am I going to get out of here without looking like an idiot? I tried to clean up the area as best I could. And I think I made it out. There was a security camera. I kind of wondered if they went back and reviewed it. Like, oh my God, someone just dumped ass in here. And they probably saw how I was like waddling out of the bathroom it's that guy. But I was like, okay, maybe I can understand how someone could, you know, kind of mess up a toilet, but I don't forgive them for not trying to clean up. I at least did that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I've never been in this situation, so I can't attest to what I would do in that poor circumstance. But I imagine I'd try to clean it up.
Well, that's the only honorable thing to do. I mean, you're in the toilet, so you got everything you need there. You know, you got the toilet paper. You got a trash can so you can throw away some evidence if, you know, depending on how far it went. And so, yeah, I don't forgive anyone just like just walk into the toilet. They shit themselves, or even worse, as you said, they aim for the toilet and just miss. Like, why be a decent person and just at least clean up after it a little bit?
Clean up your poop, people.
Come on. I'm walking here.
Yeah, I'm trying to poop over here.
Oh,
man,
Jesus.
What a horrible feeling to have to go to the bathroom so bad that you're like, oh, I'm just going to make it. And you open up this public restroom. And the only open stall is open for a reason. It's just because there's fecal matter all over the place. Wouldn't that be the worst? That's a nightmare of mine.
Seriously.
I'm not a good public bathroom user.
Okay, do you, even if you've got time or no time, do you have to put like toilet paper on the rim of the toilet, or are you cool with just pushing cheeks down?
Oh, I'll go one step ahead of you, Biggie. I won't do it. I will not shit in a public toilet.
Really?
I have. But if there's any chance that I can hold it, I'll do the calculus in my head of like how long I got to versus how long before I'm home. Or in a safe bathroom. And most of the time, I'd rather suffer and be horribly uncomfortable for hours on end than to relieve myself in a public restroom.
Wow. I guess I shouldn't be too surprised. The very first con, you all told us straight up, you cannot use this downstairs bathroom. That is for hosts only. I was like, oh, la-ti-da, so the host can have their own private bathroom. But I bet that was just for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably. Especially if it was coming out of my mouth, if I was saying that. I'm sure the other guys didn't care. Although, maybe they were happy that I said something. I'm sure anyone would prefer that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is there truly altruistic people out there that are like, no, it doesn't matter how many people use that restroom. One restroom for all.
You know, I don't know. I guess my mentality towards that, I've just never really cared. Like, I mean, I have sat on some gross ass toilets that, you know, if they told me you could get, you know, some sort of disease off of it, then, you know, I probably have sat on it. And, you know, I just like it's skin, you know, as long as I'm not like ingesting it, then I'm OK. I can always just clean myself off, you know, later. It's just never been a big thing for me.
Sure. Yeah. I have some bathroom anxiety. I can't use a urinal if someone's near me.
Ooh, like how near? Like at least a separator stall?
It's totally dependent on the situation. So if it's busy, I can go. If it's like a busy restroom, I can go with both of the urinals next to me open. Or if I'm in the corner and then I have one, you know, to the left or right of me that's open, that's fine too. I can do it then. If it's fully busy, no way. I can't do it with a person right next to me. Now, if it's like an empty bathroom and I, you know, walk up to it and I unzip and then I hear the door open and in comes just another single person and they go to the furthest one away from me, I can't do it. I get bladder shy. I can't pee.
Wow. That is incredible. You should be signed up for a study. Like, I've never heard of someone, like, especially, like, I mean, you're such an open person about just anything. Like, I just always kind of equate to someone who being that shy in the bathroom is just being, you know, very, you know, reclusive, you know, socially. And, but you're just so open about everything. Like, I'm just so surprised how shy you are in the restroom. Is it just purely self-conscious? Like, you just feel like everyone's just listening in to what you're doing and really?
Yeah, that's it. It's this thought of like, I have this thought of like, I can't control it, where if there's a person near me and I'm peeing, I feel like they're thinking about me peeing. They're thinking about, oh, well, what, he hasn't started yet? He's been standing there for 10 seconds and he hasn't started peeing yet? I can hear his stream if he were to start and I don't hear anything. This is what's going on in my head. And then I just get more anxious as time goes on because I'm thinking about how the other person doesn't hear me peeing.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. I can't. Here's the other kicker to this. Is I'll gladly go in a stall, in a packed bathroom. I'll go in a stall, close the door behind me, and just, you know, fully fire hose right into the center of the toilet and make the loudest noise in the world.
Really? That is so fascinating. It looks like we actually have someone who wants to add to this conversation. Sweaty, get on up here. I want to hear your thoughts on this. So we've got Sweaty Heart going to tell us hey dude, all right, lay it on us. What's your thoughts on this bathroom proclivity?
I gotta say, I agree 100% with Guido.
You do?
Yeah, I do, actually. I go into the bathroom and I'm constantly worried about the other people hearing my noises and what they must think about me.
Wow.
Like, it's so stupid, too, because why do I care at all? But, like, am I peeing hard enough? Do they think I have problems? Is my stream good? Like,
are you peeing hard enough? I do not understand this. You guys are, aliens to me. No.
Have you ever heard a group of guys, like, making fun of, like, someone getting old? Like, oh, they don't have a good, it's trickling out like an old man.
No.
Oh, I have.
Oh, you worry about the actual force of your stream.
Yeah, well, I worry about somebody hearing it and thinking I'm an old man who has prostate cancer, I guess.
Wow, that is so foreign to me. No, I'll walk into a bathroom. If I just, like, trickle just a couple little drops, as long as I feel better, I'm like, oh, okay, see y'all later. Or I've just stood there. I've been drunk, like, so drunk that I just stand at the urinal and just nothing comes out. I don't know how much time has passed, but I'm just like, oh, well, I guess I'm done, and I just leave.
Oh, no, I'm acutely aware. I have little systems that I do to help me pee in the case that there is, like, a semi-full bathroom, but I have a stall or a urinal open next to me. Usually it involves, like, going on my phone. I'll close my eyes. I'll take a deep breath sometimes.
A whole meditation session in preparation.
You gotta.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God.
Wow,
I didn't expect to get an ally in this bladder shyness.
100%.
No, I thought Sweaty was going to call you a pussy. I thought, I'm just blown away.
No, I'm here to call both of us pussies.
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough. It is.
No, I totally wish I could do that. I look at other men in envy of their pee confidence.
Man, bless your all's hearts. I just feel so bad. Like, as someone who's in the bathroom and, you know, are there any telltale signs I should look for so I could be, you know, courteous to people with this this issue?
Yeah, I mean, if they pee, if they're there when you come in and they're still there as you start peeing, then just really think hard about how they're peeing. And maybe glance their way a few times, but don't make eye contact. And then, you know, just once you're done, zip up your pants and then go stand next to them.
Okay.
I'm writing this down. Time.
Yeah.
Gotcha. What are some really good phrases to say that they really, you know, get them going?
Oh, to help them pee?
Yeah, let's say I want to help motivate them. Like, I want to make them, you know, feel like they're in a safe space.
Oh, then you say, why don't you start pissing, piss boy? Where's that piss at? I don't hear nothing.
Oh, whoa, I think I almost just pissed my pants. Hearing you say that.
Yeah, it works.
Wow, good to know. Yeah, I like this toilet etiquette. It's very, very helpful. No, the only time I've... Oh, go ahead, Sweaty.
Biggie, I'm curious, how piss-centric are you in your life? Like, do you know, the longest time you peed? Because I do. I timed it.
Good. No, I definitely haven't timed it. I know the longest pisses I've had is out drinking. Of course, you know, I drink a bunch of beer, it's sitting in your gut. I'm either going to go piss a lot or throw up. Either way, I'm going to feel good afterwards.
What about you, Guido?
You've timed it, so that means you've timed multiple times that you've peed.
Yes.
Because you didn't go into it I got the winner right now.
Well, kind of. Like, you know when it's going to be a long one. Heading in.
Okay. I'm curious to know how long it was.
It was 3 minutes and 24 seconds.
What the
fuck?
Yeah.
That's like filling up a tank of gas, dude. That's forever.
Holy.
It was
crap.
It was at a movie. I don't remember which movie it was. I think it was like a Marvel movie. And I drank so much soda, probably 4 liters worth of soda. In that movie. And then, I just had to go to the bathroom. And I went, I was like, this is going to be a long one. And I put my phone on the urinal and hit the timer.
Wow.
No, I'm not even close. Maybe a minute would be my tops. 3 minutes. That's insane.
Yeah. No, I don't think I've ever gotten close to 3 minutes.
Yeah, so anyways, I'm going to schedule a doctor's appointment.
you might want to. I mean, or you've just got a rocking bladder. I don't think I could sit still in anything and consume enough drink that my bladder would get that full that I could pee straight for 3 minutes. I would just have to get up and just go.
Yeah, I think I would too. I have a very small bladder. I pee so much during the day. It's embarrassing. My whole bathroom time, everything is embarrassing. Fix me, Dr. Biggie.
Oh, man. I feel for you, man. I mean, the only thing I could say is, you know, no one's listening and you're doing what everyone else is doing. And you just, you know, go in there and relax. And I think it's this kind of an unspoken rule. You know, people go in there, you're going to smell stuff. You're going to hear stuff. People are in different situations and you just leave and, you know, it's who cares? We just move on with our lives.
Yeah. You know, I know all that. I'm sure Sweaty knows all that. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You guys.
The thing is that me and Guido are two separate people and we're both listening and we're both thinking about it. So there must be other people out there thinking about it.
No, here's the thing. I don't think about anyone else. I'm never once have I been listening to other people. I've always been focusing on myself.
So you think we're in we're going into groups of bathrooms and all the guys are just thinking about their own history?
Yeah, I think so. For the most part. Right? It would be weird if they were in there. If they enter the portal of the bathroom and then their mind snaps into thinking about other guys peeing. Maybe there's people out there like that. I'm sure there are.
So the other day at work, I had a guy come out of the bathroom as I was walking by, and he goes, "It's popping off in there." I was like, what? I go in there, this dude is just ripping ass, just tearing up the toilet.
Oh boy.
And I was like, well, he's right. This is popping off.
Oh, do you guys have any bathroom sayings? Like if you enter like a somewhat crowded bathroom in a bar or something?
Bathroom sayings? What do you mean?
So sometimes I'll go in and it'll be kind of busy, or I'll have to wait in line, and I'll kind of like to the person's next to me, I'll say, "Oh, so this is where all the pricks hang out."
Yeah, I do. Oh, actually.
That's funny.
There was a bar back in my hometown that I used to go to, and in the bathroom, it had all of these posters of like nude women all over it. Like every urinal in front of one of them would have like a naked woman in it. The stalls had it on the wall too, and then just plastered around randomly. And I'd always find myself just drunk as shit, obviously, pissing next to some dude. And we'd both look up at the same time and look at the poster and be like, "What the hell are they trying to do? Just get us all hard in here or something?" And I'd say something to that effect almost every night I went to that bar.
That's good. Yeah.
It is good.
I'll often drop the, you know, if I'm in a stall, which I am 80% of the time, I go into a stall to pee. But I'll go into a stall, and if a buddy's in there, I'll say, "Man, it sure is hard to pee with this erection."
No, I'm very quiet. Like, I don't like to socialize in the bathroom. I'm just focused on going in, getting it done, and like, even if my friend's in there, like, I just don't talk to him. I'm just completely quiet, wash my hands, and once I leave, then you know, as he walks out, we're chatting all over again, but I would just completely cold shoulder everyone. I just want to get my business done and get out. And I've got this coworker, and he is the nicest guy, so good at sales, but he loves talking in the bathroom and like full-on conversations, and I feel so bad to like not say anything. So, you know, I kind of just, you know, he'll say something interesting. I'll kind of just do a little, you know, "Ha, that's good." And then I won't add on, but he'll just keep going. And I feel so like dirty. Like I'm almost in the stall with him, just like watching him take a dump and just chit-chatting. And I guess that's the closest I get to being uncomfortable in the bathroom, is someone like actively talking to me and wanting to know, like, you know, "How's my wife doing at work?" Or, you know, "Hey, look at those cowboys. Look at what they did." You know, any kind of conversation like that.
Oh, yeah. Those guys that hold conversations in the bathroom, they're pure evil beings. They're serial killers. They have no remorse. They're narcissists. They're just horrible, horrible people. I wouldn't trust them. I would never let my child marry one of them. And in fact, I'd go as far as to say we should find a solution to get rid of them.
Damn.
The but solution.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, hey, Sweaty, you know, now we got you on here. Did you have a good holiday?
Yeah. My Christmas was pretty good. My New Year's, not so much.
Oh, bummer. Party too hard?
No, my New Year's party ended with me arguing with a friend of a friend who called my ex-roommate a slaver.
Whoa.
She wouldn't let it go. She kept diving in on this, that he was a slave owner.
Whoa. Huh. Okay, what's the setup for that?
So she was
so he owned
slaves.
Oh, okay, makes sense. It's logical.
She had been living in Mozambique, I guess, for like the last 9 months, and my ex-roommate is actually from Zimbabwe. And he and his family fled Zimbabwe when he was like 5. Because they were white landowners, and people showed up with guns and said, "You have to leave or we'll kill you." And so her whole thing was, "Oh, those guys were right. They did have to leave because they were probably slave owners."
Dang.
And I'm like, man, what a wild stance to take to someone you just met at a New Year's party.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, that wouldn't, that'd be like the third thing I would say to them. You know?
Or what was the number one and number two? Holy crap.
Well, probably Happy New Year.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, hope your Christmas is well. Your family, bought and sold people.
Oh, man. Well, that is quite a conversation. Guido, you had a little party as well. How'd that go?
Oh, let me tell you guys something here. I got a little bit older, and I ended up turning the old 40.
Oh, man. Big number. Big milestone.
Over the hill is what I am now. That's what people say. There's a hill and I trudged up it. Now it's all downhill, which I'm always confused about that saying, because downhill is a lot easier to go down. But sometimes downhill means everything gets bad. So which is it, Piggy?
I don't know. I never understood that saying either. And also, I have an issue saying 40 is over the hill. Like, I feel like every day, you know, see people dying and all that, but they're like in their 90s. Like, I'm like, even reaching 100 is not that unobtainable anymore. That I think 40 is easily like the new 30. So you're like, I would honestly say 50 is over the hill.
Okay. 50's over the hill, huh? Everybody's going to be living till 100?
Man, I think so. I just like, it just seems like anytime you look at the news, someone's died. It's never like 70, or even if it's 70, it's usually like a heart attack or something like that, you know. But if you're able to make it like through your life without any major complications, I feel like 90 is very obtainable. And that's pretty promising.
All right. Well, if you say so there, Biggie, I don't feel 40. When I was younger, I'd see someone that was 40 and I'd be like, holy shit, dude. Fucking look at that old piece of shit. Look at that big old bag of bones over there, is what I'd say to myself while they were peeing. And now I am that guy. I'm that bag of bones. And it's, I don't feel that way. I don't feel like I thought people would feel at 40. Honestly, I just feel like the same. I feel like a 30-year-old. Like I turned a corner, like the 20s are done. And now I'm finally getting my life together.
That's fair.
No, I had a big party. Invited a lot of my friends. We rented a big mansion. It would have been great in the summer because it had a pool and it was on a lake and everything, but it's December in Wisconsin and it kind of sucked in that term. But it was a giant house, played a lot of board games. People from the Just Okay community were there. We had Taco Baba, we had Rusty Louie, we had Dionysus. Dionekes?
There you go.
Still unsure how to say it.
It's better to say it wrong.
Joshua.
Yeah. There you go.
We had Josh. We had Krause. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fun. I invited you, Biggie, but you were held up.
I was. I had to go over to Europe with my wife.
Shucks.
Dang it. No, it looked like a great time. Loved seeing all the pictures. I'm sure it was quite the time. What is the craziest thing that happened?
I mean, not much crazy happened. We're all 40, Biggie.
Okay, so crazy is a bit of a curve. What's the craziest 40-something-year-old thing you all did?
Dude, we didn't really do crazy. I mean, we had fondue at midnight on New Year's Eve.
That's kind of crazy. I like that.
Getting it was a little delightful. Wild.
We had a cheese fondue and a chocolate fondue.
Ooh, sick.
With a giant Bavarian pretzel, a soft pretzel that we broke up and dipped into the cheese. Ooh, baby.
Damn.
Yeah, but we didn't really do anything crazy. It was mostly just playing board games and having a few drinks. A respectable amount of drinks. No one really got too hungover except for one person. And yeah, it was not crazy at all. It was very nice. We woke up, made breakfast, had coffee. It's very much like a con, except
awesome.
Not as fratty.
Gotcha. Gotcha. That's fair. Oh, that sounds just delightful. Fondue and board games with some alcohol at a reasonable consumption level. That just sounds like a great evening.
Yep. We all had our own bedrooms. We all had giant beds. It was great. I'd do that again.
Oh, very nice. So no more bunk beds sharing with like 40 different people.
Oh, I think Di slept on a bunk bed.
Yeah, of course. That makes sense. I guess he was the younger one there.
Oh, he was the youngest by quite a few years. But he held his own with us. I felt a little bad, like on my birthday night, I think I went to bed at like 11. And it was him and like two other people that were up.
Dude, I tell you, getting into the 30s, man, that just that early bedtime, just so, maybe it's just because you do it so much when you're younger, you know, late night benders and state, you know, you're able to bounce back so easily. But I can definitely tell, like, I feel like what you're feeling. I'll be 35 this year. And, you know, I feel the same as I did in my 20s, but I know where my limitations are. And it's like staying up to like 3 a.m, multiple nights, even just one night. I feel it the next day. Two nights, I'm just dead to the world after that. And you just don't want to feel that way. You don't want to waste your free time feeling that terrible. So you just, you know, kind of like, you know where your limit is. You can get nice and drunk, but you kind of want to do it a little bit earlier. So that way you can get that nice sleep at the end.
Sweaty, you're a younger buck. Are you, what do you think? Are you excited to get a little older?
I'm not. In fact, somebody sent me a video of a bunch of college athletes, and they asked them, what do you think is an old year for people to be born? And they all unanimously said, yeah, before 2000. Anybody born before 2000 is old as shit.
Oh, fuck. Oh, and what the hell?
I was like, hell, man, don't send me that. I'm not even 30 yet. I was born in 95.
Ooh, 95, good year.
Yeah, you have some wine that you like from 95?
No, 95 was the height of my nostalgia, probably 94, 95, I'd say. Waking up, watching some X-Men cartoons. Man, at 95, I was 13. No, yeah, I guess I wouldn't be watching X-Men cartoons. I was probably trying to masturbate somewhere. You know, God. Wherever I could find it, I'd draw a picture or something. Mm-hmm. And just go to town. That's what I did. That was right when the internet was starting to pop off, going on the old net zero, the old dial up, and watching a 500 kilobyte high res nudie pic download at the pace of a fucking snail. Just doing a stroke for every kilobyte.
I remember trying to load pictures and it loading one layer at a time and just, please, mm-hmm. just a little farther, waiting for that next line.
Man, heaven,
and then your parents would walk in and you had to close the web.
Before the next.
Oh, it's just too much effort. Like trying to look at stuff. And I think at that time, I wouldn't, I guess like 90, I'll see, nice. I would have been a little too young. So like going in, even in the 2000s, like we lived out in the woods. So we had pretty much just dial up and that was it. And it was just movies. I just, you know, find movies that had some good nudie scenes and just use that. It's just so much easier.
Yeah, man. This is what people want, right? Three white guys mm-hmm. talking about taking shits and masturbating.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're getting, damn it.
Yeah. They can never find this anywhere else.
Well, I had a pretty good time in Paris. It was my first time in Europe. France is just absolutely beautiful. Saw some really interesting things, you know, went and saw the Eiffel Tower and went up and down the Seine River. Saw a dog pee on some poop. That was kind of interesting. It was just crazy times over there. Great food. Well, no, I take that back. Their food's not that great. Their coffee is.
Walk that back real fast.
Oh, Yeah, the coffee, wine, all that's really good. Yeah, the food over there is just, it's, you know, you can get it, the same stuff around here. Like, pastries and stuff were pretty tasty, but I don't know. Like, I tried a couple hamburgers there, and they just did not hit. I didn't get to try escargot. I didn't quite get around to that one. But just some other French dishes. It's like, yeah, they're good, but I've had different stuff around here that was, you know, just as good. But the scenery is really spectacular. So yeah, if you ever get a chance, definitely go.
I think that culture mosaic of going to a foreign land and embracing all their local customs and food and culture and stuff has been stricken down a little bit in the past decade or two, right? Just because everybody has access to everything. That right. famous croissant that you'd go to a bakery in Paris because it's the only place to get that croissant has now shared the recipe for it. And, you know, people go there to learn how to make it and bring it back to the States. And, you know, the next thing you know, they're putting it in a microwave oven at Starbucks and you're buying it for $7. You know, you can experience everything everywhere all at once.
Right. Yeah. The world's just getting way smaller. You know, I think we had chatted about that earlier. It was, you know, you can go over to France for, you know, $2,000, you know, there and back, you know, if you pick a good time. And like, that's just, you know, in today's society, that's not that much. That's so easy, you know, 8 to 10 hour flight and you're there. And so it was one of those things where when going there, I didn't want to plan a whole lot because I just wanted to kind of absorb it. Because, you know, the Eiffel Tower looks pretty, but we've seen a billion pictures of the Eiffel Tower. You know, it looks the same. So it's just really trying to get in there and not plan too much and just soak up that that environment. And as one cool thing we got to do, just, you know, go into a cafe, hear a bunch of people speaking a language you don't understand, but it's still like, ooh, this is still very interesting. One thing I did like to do was I turn on the translator app and just have it just automatically translate conversations. And my wife and I would just sit and read them. And it's, you know, they talk about the same shit we talk about, you know, gossiping about people, you know, a lot of holiday talk. People? Oh, yeah. Yeah. We were just, well, you know, I mean, I can't speak the language, but the app can. So I'm like, I want to get a part of this. And it was great. It was neat. People bitching about their family and, you know, and the economy. And it was just neat.
Hmm. Well, that's good.
What did your wife
have a great time?
Oh, she had a great time. She had a whole lot of fun. You know, she really loves coffee and wine far, far more than I do. So just being able to go anywhere and buy, like, you know, not expensive either, but she said it was, you know, way better than the normal stuff you can, you know, get around here. Just a lot fresher, has more, you know, vibrant taste and everything. And so, yeah, we just had a really, really wonderful time. That had a lot of Christmas markets around these little towns we'd visit. And she's a huge fan of Christmas, and just her excitement for it just over the years has just rubbed off on me. I just never really cared about the holidays, but now I'm like, yeah, I love it. It's great. You know, go see chestnuts being roasted. Yeah. Never seen that before. Smells amazing.
Get your chestnuts roasted?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you played a little hide the baguette. Uh-huh. Yeah, you did. You surrendered.
Oh,
Biggie, what'd you think about the French people?
Very nice.
Were they?
Oh, very. And that was always the thing. It's, you know, I'm from the South and I just feel like Southerners just hate everyone. And, you know, it's always like, oh, it's the French. The French are so snooty, you know, and you know, they'll give you the time of day and they hate Americans and all that. But no, that's just not the case, or at least not our experience. We went all around. Tiny towns and then, you know, a big city like Paris. And even if we couldn't understand each other, they were just real patient and friendly and tried to help us. And I didn't experience that hostility that's kind of, you know, kind of famously spoke about here. It's just everyone was super nice. And talked to some people who have traveled around a lot. They said really around the 2000s onward, that stereotype has really not been true anymore. And I say it's probably just globalization, you know. They like Americans because we got, you know, a really strong currency. So, you know, of course they want to be as welcoming as possible. And like also, what Guido said, too.
I also think that out of anyone that would be oblivious to someone being rude to them, it would be you.
That's true.
Yeah, because that's not been my experience with French people, at least online. I honestly hate the fucking French so much.
Whoa, what happened?
I've probably dealt with like 3 French people in various settings, and they've all been rude pricks. And a handful of French Canadians were the same way. So I just have made up my mind. I hate French people.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. That's one way to approach it.
Yeah.
You know, anytime that you can just judge a whole group of people based on a few interactions, it's a good thing for me.
Yeah. I think 6 is a pretty good sample size for an entire, you know, culture.
Yeah. I'd say, you know, if you said 5, I'd be like, eh, you got to give him another chance. Just one more. But you gave him the full 6, and that's it. That's all she wrote.
Huh. Well, good to know. Yeah, no, it's really a really neat country with a neat culture. I want to go back and really visit a lot of the war memorials. That's one thing we didn't get to do. So I would really like to go back and check that out, like Normandy Beach and other places like that.
Wow. Yeah. That's my kind of dream trip right now. Maybe it is because I turned 40. I'd like to go to Europe and look at old World War II sites.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
But I think that's an old man thing. I told that to my girlfriend, and she looked at me like I was... like I needed a walker to get to the bathroom where I couldn't pee.
Yes, I can pee. You just can't be there while I do it.
Right. Don't listen to this. That's what I always shout at her from the bathroom.
Don't listen.
Yeah, plug your ears.
Try to bring as much attention to yourself to make them stop listening. Yeah, I like that strategy.
Yeah, that would be a fun trip, you know, to go and see Normandy and go. As much as I think it would be a humbling experience, I would like to go to, you know, some of the camps, some of the old camps over there and in the old motherland.
Oh, yes, those camps.
Yeah.
Same.
Just to see what all the fuss is about. No, I think it would be a very solemn experience, a very introspective experience.
Sure. No, definitely. Especially the big one, Auschwitz. I mean, I just the thought of what all happened there. I mean, you know, you talk about, you know, like the ghost shows where they go to all these different castles and stuff, but like there, you know, that's a real serious shit happened there. Like that would just be just knowing the history and everything, just, man, it would just kind of rock your world a bit. Just be very creepy.
Oh, man. Do you think they couldn't, no one could ever get away with doing a ghost hunter show in an old concentration camp, could they?
Oh, man. We're probably like 200 years away from that.
I'd like to see them try that. I'd watch that.
It would be entertaining.
I would watch that immediately.
Not even the show itself, just the social media backlash of it.
Oh my God. Yeah. When people get slammed for just taking selfies on the railway outside of it. Yeah. Trying to do a whole like sci-fi channel level ghost show would be, oh boy. I'd watch it. I mean,
Anne, are you with us?
Do you like ghost shows? Do either of you like ghost shows?
It's one of those things where if it's on and I'm intoxicated, they're pretty fun. But that's about it.
Only to ridicule them. Yeah.
Yeah. I could, if someone came up to me and I had just met them recently and they're like, man, I really, really like this show. It's on, A&E. It's called The Real Ghost Hunters of Philadelphia. I'd probably just discount them for my life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Well, they're so crap. Like, they feel so fake and, you know, and I get it. I mean, what are you going to do? Ghosts are not real. You know, you hear a little sound. Like, I hear sounds all the time, but they don't freak me out. you know, it's all a complete show. The only part that I do find kind of interesting, and probably why I found that that Phasmophoria game that we had played a while back, is all the tech. Like, it's all crap and smoke and mirrors, but at least, like, the logic you try to put behind that tech is kind of fascinating.
Yeah, it's silly. It's like they went dumpster diving behind an old closed-down Radio Shack and just pulled a few wires and a screen together and said, you know, this is how I'm going to talk to Jack Johnson through an EMT warbler-dorbler machine, and he's going to send transmissions on the screen, and I'm going to interpret it as, you know, yes or no's.
Exactly. Using radio waves, something that's going everywhere. Of course you're going to pick something up.
Oh, ghost hunters.
Boy, I will say, though, if anyone's looking for a really fun ghost podcast, there's a one called the Parapod that I really, really like. I cannot remember the guys' names, but basically one of them is super into, like, ghost hunting and completely believes in it, and the other one is, you know, just basically makes fun of him the whole time. But their interactions are just hilarious. And especially when the guy who believes in the ghosts, he kind of fucks up his data quite a bit, and the other guy catches him trying to, like, you know, kind of sneak stuff by him. It's very entertaining. So if you're looking for a pretty funny podcast about paranormal and just kind of having that discussion, Parapod is a great one.
There you go, folks. You heard it here first. Parapod. Yeah, ghost hunters. Skit idea, ghost hunter hunters. Huh?
Ooh.
A yes. Team of over-the-top guys that use a bunch of newfangled equipment to track down ghost hunters.
Ooh, I like that. So, will they kill them? Because then they'll become ghosts. It'd be like a never-ending cycle. Like, I heard some ghost hunters got killed by the ghost hunters, so that makes it extra spooky.
They gotta meet them, find them, and then pretend that they can't see or hear them. They can only, like, feel their presence.
Okay, I like that. That's good shit. Damn, Guido, right. That's good stuff. Yeah, we need to get that in production.
Okay. Chop, chop. Production team, if you're listening, get started. Draft up the budget.
Oh, my God, it'd be so cheap. That's the other big thing about those shows. It's so cheap. I bet, like, less than, like, what, $5,000 an episode?
No, dude. You're paying for a whole sound and video crew.
They're probably shipping. Well, that's probably true. I mean, editing, I would say they probably ship that overseas and have them just put it all together for, you know, pennies on the dollar, like what they do with animation.
We should get a ghost hunter on this show.
That's a good idea. Hey, this podcast has some good reach. Hey, ghost hunters, get on here. We want to listen. We want to ask you so many questions. Lie through your teeth if you have to. We don't care. We just want to talk.
Yeah, if you or someone you know hunts ghosts, then please show up, reach out. We'd like to talk to you. I have so many questions. One, are ghosts real? Two, prove it?
That's all we're asking. Prove that ghosts exist.
Huh. Cool. Well, I'm glad you had fun in France. That's pretty neat. It is the new year. Do you guys have any New Year's resolutions?
No, I don't. I don't bother because I know I won't do it.
That's fair. Yeah, I've got one. Like, I have been, it's an incredibly boring one. I've really neglected my health. And that's something I don't want to do anymore because I want to live, you know, past my 40s and onward. And I should, you know, not turn a blind eye to it. So I'm trying to go see doctors more often and, you know, eat a little bit better. I've lost some weight, lost 25 pounds so far. So I'm feeling really good in that department.
I got to say, when he posted that picture, I noticed.
Oh,
I noticed you were looking a little slimmer.
Yeah, thank you, dude. Yeah, just a mix of just eating less and, you know, going out and just to the driving range, just, you know, at least burn something while having fun. It's so far been very helpful. But yeah, I just want to, you know, not only my physical health, but mental health. Want to go and try to get that worked on. You know, life and work, it's stressful. Go see some people. It's so easy now. And that's, you know, I've always said that, you know, and I should take my own advice and want to do it myself. And
yeah, yeah. You should visit more people, like the guy that's, you know, just a couple hours south of you that's invited you over like 4 or 5 times. You should go visit that guy.
Let's hash this out. Let's figure out what's going on here. How many times has he been invited, Sweaty?
I think it's been 3.
Okay, 3 times.
Pretty sure there were,
Biggie, you just couldn't do it. You're busy. What's going on? If I
just didn't hate Sweaty so much, then I guess I could have done it, you know, a lot sooner. I hate that I haven't been down there to visit. That's another New Year's resolution I'm going to have, is to get down there and visit Sweaty.
Don't lie, you're going to come visit Tom when Tom's visiting me. That's what you're going to do.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you have to let me know. My parents are coming into town, so hopefully it won't be overlapping.
When you do that and you find Tom and Sweaty's around, just don't pretend like you can't hear or see him, but you can only feel his presence.
Gotcha. Something feels odd here, like I'm being watched.
Yeah. Did you guys feel that? You hear that?
Oh. Sorry, shaking my camera around. Oh, my God. Well, what about you, Guido? What's your New Year's resolution?
Yeah, you know, I don't really have one. I think it's a good time to reassess just things in general. Oh, no, I did have one. What was it? Oh, I can't remember. Shoot. Oh, I had a very stupid one. I wanted to get better at juggling.
Ooh, interesting.
I can juggle. I have juggled. I will juggle. But I'm not super good at it. You know, I can only do 3 balls. I want to try and 3 balls in the standard juggling format. And I could do it for maybe, like, if I'm lucky, 30 seconds. And then I kind of lose track. So, for a brief second, I was like, man, I should just take some time to learn how to juggle. It's a cool little party trick I could pull out whenever I want. If I'm doing like kind of cool stuff, that's even just a fraction of a step beyond the regular just basic juggling. That'd be pretty cool.
I agree. Like, I think there's a lot of respect for someone who can juggle even just 3 things and have a pretty good cadence with it. And especially if you can like walk around and do it like that, that is impressive. That's a lot of coordination. What would be like out of a household, say you're going to someone's house and you just want to impress them with your juggling, what would be the first items you would pick up?
And I can juggle them?
And you can juggle them, like some candlestick holders, some knives. Let's see, some fruit. I guess that would be kind of the easier ones to pick up. Fuck fruit. Dangerous. Have a little bit of danger.
I'd probably force people very awkwardly to take off their shoes so I could juggle them.
I like that. That is really a good idea. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, can I see your shoe? Can I see both of your shoes and just one of your shoe? Come on, give it to me real quick. Real quick. It'll take a second. Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That reminds me, didn't we do something with shoes during that scavenger? Oh, that's right. During the scavenger hut at the 3rd or 4th con, we had to ask people to take their shoes off and we had to wear them.
Yeah, you had to get to wear someone's shoe, which every team did. And that surprised me. I thought a bunch of socially anxious people would have trouble nailing that one down. And I think Sweaty was on my team. I think we got Goat to do it.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah, the person we went up to was super cool about it. That was the one I was most nervous about, like, hey, can I wear your shoe? But people were super pumped.
Yeah. Hey, that's a good way to just approach anyone. And a girl, especially, Sweaty, here's a good tip.
Oh, thanks.
Say, hey, can I get your number? It's for a scavenger hunt. Because everybody wants to help out people in a scavenger hunt.
wow, that is such a good way to make people do some weird stuff. It's just say it's for a scavenger hunt. What's like the weirdest thing you could do? Hey, take your shirt off. It's for a scavenger hunt.
Yeah, let's trade shirts.
Yes. Huh. Hey, take these pills. It's for a scavenger hunt.
Hey, I need you to brush my hair for 20 minutes. It's for a scavenger hunt.
Hey, can you check the back of my pants for any wet spots? It's for a scavenger hunt.
I really need you to file my taxes. It's for a scavenger hunt.
Oh, I would do that. That would be fun.
Only if it's a stripper.
Only if it's a stripper. Their taxes are fun.
I bet. Oh, boy. Well, I don't know. You guys got anything else you want to talk about? Or are you pretty good?
Yeah, I kind of got a little something I want to just ask. What is, because I always like to bring things back to movies. What is like the movie you watched this year that has just kind of hung with you and maybe even defined your year?
Ooh. I don't know. Sweaty, do you watch a lot of movies?
Not really. In fact, all the movies I'm thinking that I watched, I can only think of one single new movie I watched this year, and it was a year old. And that was the new Avatar.
Oh, what'd you think of it?
I liked it. I thought the special effects looked better than the old one, though.
Interesting. Yeah,
but it was a good movie.
I could agree with that. Very good. Very good. Huh. Yeah, it's a tough question. Even if it's a movie that didn't come out this year, I'd say go ahead and go for it. For me, I don't know. I finally watched Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, the remake I forget the actor's name. And I don't know. That movie has hung around with me. I guess it's just the style and just how engaging the whole thing was. That and the Imitation Game, I think, were two that really spoke to me. There was a bad one, and it's probably the most emotion I felt this year out of a movie, and that would be Rebel Moon.
Yeah, you didn't like it, huh?
Holy crap. Let's talk about Zack Snyder for a second. The dude sucks.
I heard bad things.
He straight up blows. Like, it's like not even a contest anymore. Like, going into it, like, I really think the only good movie he's made was that zombie one, Night of the Living Dead, where it was, where they're stuck in the mall. Like, that was a pretty all right movie. I wouldn't call it great, but it was good.
You didn't like 300?
That one in 300.
Oh, see, even for me, 300 was such a letdown. And I was the target audience for it. You know, I was like, 16.
You're a Spartan?
I'm a Spartan?
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't good. Like, it was okay. I don't know. Did I miss something?
A little bit. Yeah, that's fine.
My bad. But no, he's just not a good director. I will say that Watchmen movie was okay. Like, it was okay, but it wasn't anything amazing. I think the music is probably what made it kind of good. But no, Rebel Moon is just so bad. I just imagine like all these executives just throwing money at him. And I thought maybe, you know, after all the flops that were the DC movies he did, maybe he'd like be like, okay, I suck. I'm a piece of shit. So I'm going to actually try to do something good. I'm going to write and direct and partially finance this movie. And it was maybe the worst thing he's ever made. And that is just shocking.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but I had no interest, even with just his name was attached to it. So that made me say no way, Jose.
Oh, I won't. You did the right thing. You know, it's just, I just sat on the plane. I was watching it on the way back, and Megan looked at me, and I was typing notes. Like, anytime I watch a movie, I have my little one note on the side, and I'm just typing notes. And usually if there's a bunch of notes, that means the movie sucks. And it's probably the longest note-taking thing I've ever done for a film. Just everything, it's every cliche that felt so aged at this point. The slow-mo action, the plot was very much like three or four different average movies that he just threw together and hoped something would work, I guess. It's just shocking. It really is. I truly feel that any one of us could make a better movie than what he did. And he has fucking experience, but where is it?
Ghost Hunter Hunters coming out 2027.
Exactly.
Do you do notes while you're in a theater watching a movie?
I do.
What?
What?
Yeah.
What's up with you?
No, I just, it helps me stay engaged. My mind wanders a lot when I'm watching movies, and I like to try to focus. And I just kind of keep my phone, you know, I keep it, you know, face down. And then if something happens, I just kind of slightly raise it and type a little, you know, like a little sentence about something I'm thinking about.
Either what, like, could your mind wander about? It's a dark theater. There's a giant movie playing in front of you.
Oh, man. It can wander about anything. I start thinking about work or boobies or just something else.
What was the last movie you saw in a theater?
Oh, shit. That's a great question. I don't know if I've even seen a movie in theaters this year. Nah, think about it. I think everything's been direct to video or, you know, just when it's been on the streaming platform. I'm actually looking through my list right now. I watched Spawn. Wow, that movie sucked. And I actually think I saw all these at home. Wow.
You got to go to the theater.
I don't know. We've talked about that on the movies pod. I think the theater experience is a bit overrated. You know, I'm paying a premium to sit next to a bunch of people that I don't like. And they're, you know, doing things like, you know, typing things on their phone. And it just bothers me. Taking notes and commenting on the movie. I just hate that shit. So I just wait and do it at home and bother my wife.
Biggie's got his phone in his hands, like, I'm going to have so much ammo for my letterbox review.
Exactly.
Huh. Maybe you should try starting to watch movies and not look for the bad.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. All I see is bad. You know, all I see, it's just the only good movie, a genuinely good movie I've seen in the past like year or two has been The Whale. That was really, really good. Everything else is just either like passable to god awful.
Yeah, man, I don't know. Maybe you just don't like movies.
Oh,
or do
my
you
god.
Like not liking movies?
Oh man, would that make me a troll? I just watch it just to shit on it just for my own satisfaction?
A little bit.
Have I been trolling this whole time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Huh.
I got to rethink a lot of things. I'm about to rethink all my reviews.
Yeah. Yeah. Rethink those. Movies that have stuck with me. There's one that came out last year that I gave it 4 stars at the time when I watched it. I really enjoyed it, but it's stuck with me every day since. And I think just because it resonated with my story, my own personal life. And it's a movie called After Sun. And I think right now I'd give it a 5-star, just the way it's stuck with me. But and it's about a guy who has a kid far too early and is suffering with depression. It's not a fun movie. but it really resonated with me. And it's so sad. The end is so sad and great. So that would be the one that has, you know, I've enjoyed the past 2 years or so. But this year, oh, man. I really enjoyed Across the Spider-Verse.
Ah, yes.
Sad to say, it's a cop-out. It's kind of just a little, it's like a little kid. I can't help it, man. I'm a 40-year-old comic book man. I just enjoyed watching comic book heroes do super cool comic book stuff.
Well, I would say that movie especially, the style is just beautiful. Just, I love the animation, just the color, even, you know, the story was all right, but I felt like the language, the artistic language of the film just really lifted everything to a level that I think anyone should, you know, watch that as a just, you know, it's a Spider-Man movie doing Spider-Man things, but the art and style and flow are just very impressive.
It's a pretty movie, and it was fun and enjoyable. And I saw it with my kid, and we had the unfortunate, well, no, maybe fortunate accident of not getting our seats in time. So we had to sit in the front. Or no. There were some people like talking near us. So we moved to the front about 15 minutes into the movie. And that was the best decision we made, because that is the perfect movie to just have all of your peripheral vision engulfed with all these colors and beautiful animations.
And
you're just swinging along and, you know, going through portals and it is awesome. It was great. That was definitely my best movie theater going experience of the last year. Although I did see John Wick 4 with my dad, and that was pretty cool too.
Oh, nice. You know, I should add that to one of my resolutions, is to watch all the John Wick movies.
With your dad.
You know, that would be a fun one to watch with my dad. I will do that by Christmas. You know what? He's actually coming in a couple of months. We'll watch all the John Wick movies. That sounds fun.
As a dad, John Wick's a dad movie. It's the daddest of movies.
Yep.
Yeah. Ow. They love that. They love Equalizer with Denzel Washington.
Ooh,
anything about like drug cartels?
Last time I was with my parents, my dad started telling me about this drug cartel TV show he's been watching, where they're like FBI agents or DEA agents, and they end up becoming corrupt. And he's like, "You got to watch it. It's the best thing ever."
Yeah.
Interesting.
Dad movie. That could be its own genre of, I mean, it is technically.
Oh, definitely. I guess that's something like you were talking about. I feel like I'm getting older, as I've been really enjoying World War II documentaries, just any of them. Like, they pop up on Netflix, I'm watching them. It's just something about, I guess, knowing how it ends, but it's just kind of fun in, I guess, in kind of a sad way to follow that story through and maybe see a slightly different perspective if it's, you know, focused on tanks or, you know, artillery or, you know, the human suffering and costs of the war. And definitely, as a kid, I see my grandpa watch them, and, you know, I kind of be like, "Eh, interesting, whatever." But like, I could truly appreciate them now. It makes me sad that he's gone, because I think I literally would have sat down and watched more of them with him.
Yeah. You turned 35, Biggie, and you made the choice, you know, the choice that we all have to make. Sweaty, you'll have to make it one day. And that's, are you going to be an old World War II man, a documentarian, a researcher, a historian of World War II? Or are you going to really get into smoking meats? You got to pick one or the other.
Oh, man, that's a tough one.
Well, you already made your choice.
Oh, man, I think I still have time. No, I don't want to smoke meats. I want to have meat smoked for me. So, yeah, I'm happy with my choice.
Mm-hmm.
I can
see Sweaty being a good meat smoker.
I've been barbecuing a lot lately since I moved down here.
Really?
Yeah,
you got it. You're in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was having
a pool party in Texas. You're What's having like pool your... parties?
Oh, I was, yeah. It's too cold now, but up until like October, I think, was the last pool party I had.
Damn.
You have a pool?
Yeah, the apartment complex I'm in has like two really nice pools, and they both have grills right next to them.
Do you have to like reserve them and rent them out, or is it just free for all?
It's a free for all. I mean, there was one time I had like another family show up that wanted to cook, and we just shared it, but for the most part, nobody uses it around here. So it's all mine.
Wow. How many people are coming to these pool parties?
About 10. It's all people I work with or their spouses or partners or whatever.
Is Biggie invited to the pool party?
I would invite him, but he just wouldn't show up anyways. So.
That's fair. Huh. No, I'm going to have to come down and try some of your smoked meats. What's like your go-to? You're going to impress a big buxom lady. She's walking down and she's like, oh, baby, give me them smoked meats. What are you throwing on the grill?
I haven't been smoking. I've been doing like some very light barbecue stuff.
Nice.
I was trying to think. We did. It's literally just me buying some meat at HEB and throwing it on the barbecue and putting barbecue sauce on it. It's nothing nice. Impressive yet. I still have some years, right, to perfect the meat smoking.
Oh, you're well. I say you're like ahead of the curve. You know, how old are you, sweetie? Like 28?
28, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know any 28-year-olds who are even attempting the grill. I mean, I know I wasn't. I was still just getting McRibs, and I was pretty thrilled about that. So, yeah, like actually making stuff. Oh, yeah. By the time you hit 40, you're going to be like a connoisseur.
Nobody was grilling around that age with you? Like, you didn't go pregame stuff, and people weren't grilling before the game or anything like that?
No, not really. Usually we just get pizzas. Our friends and I were very lazy. We'd
always be grilling, man. Yeah. In our 20s and 30s.
Man, I need better friends.
Yeah, just a cooler full of beers, some brats, and some hamburgers to throw on the grill, and you're set.
Damn.
Yeah, the grilling was the reason to get together and drink beer. You just say, hey, I'm going to be having a barbecue.
Damn.
Bring some meat.
Oh, my 20s were wasted. I don't know, with a bunch of losers.
Yeah, you're too busy doing stripper taxes.
Dude, they eat up a lot of time.
All right. Well, this went well. I like this. Doing it alone at the beginning is so tough. I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, man, and you shouldn't have to. You got some prime. I mean, Sweaty, he has put out so many episodes of a D&D podcast.
And, oh, yeah, Dead Show, yeah.
Oh, that was a good show. My wife and I loved listening to it. It was so good. You were so good. Like, you carried from the beginning. Like, people started getting to your level, but you were at that level at the beginning, man. So don't you talk shit about it. You're great, buddy.
Oh, thank you. But it is dead now. We have not put out an episode in like over a year and a half, I think.
Well, you have a lot of episodes. So, I mean, there's been some other pods who you have way outlasted. So I think that's something you would put in your highlight reel if you were able to audition for another pod. I mean, that's some skill.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping that sometime in the future I can do another one, but we'll see. Right now, I've been streaming a lot, actually, or I've been trying to stream. I just got, was streaming some Kerbal Space Program before I came here.
Shit, plug it, dude.
What's your stream? Plug it.
Yeah, it's just SweatyHeart, twitch.tv/SweatyHeart.
Hear that, folks? twitch.tv/SweatyHeart. You get some prime Kerbal Space building thing action. I forget what that game is called.
Kerbal Space Program.
Thank you.
But I do a lot of shooters too. Tarkov and the finals and League, obviously.
That's true. Have you played? We played some Arena. Are you still digging it?
Oh, yeah. I'm like Arena. It's not as fun when you're alone. It's definitely one of the games that are just good because you're playing with your buddies.
Sure. Sure. Guido, have you given Escape from Tarkov Arena a shot?
Nah. I watched him play it a little bit. I'd rather just play Valorant or Counter-Strike, honestly.
I don't blame you. It seems like it's going to get really grindy at some point. Right. And it's then Tarkov. Probably going to suck all the fun out of it. Yeah, it's got to get grindy.
Yeah, I think that's kind of my downside of it as well. I like the movement. I like everyone kind of has that weight to them, and you really need to aim, but... I just don't like everyone starting at the top level. You know, the very first class you could pick is a single shot weapon. I mean, it just puts you at such a disadvantage. After finally getting an SMG that could go fully automatic, it made the game so much easier.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough starting out, and it seems like it gets rough just because you're grinding constantly.
Right.
Have either of you tried the finals, though?
I did. I'm not a fan. It reminds me a lot of that Hyperscape game that Ubisoft shout out like a year or two ago. I don't know. It's like the jumping around and the abilities. Just in that format, I can't get into it.
I tried it. I like the movement and I like the gunplay. It was the theme that kind of just didn't stick for me.
You don't like the whole contest thing in the arena?
Right. Yeah. And like the announcer and all that jazz. I don't know. Maybe I just need to give it more of a shot or play it with people because I only played it alone to try it out.
Yeah. I didn't like it at first. It was like a really twitchy shooter. And then I kind of figured out some more mechanics about things and played with some friends and they showed me some stuff because they were playing like beta and it grew on me. So I'm playing a little bit more now.
The finals. We'll have to try it, Biggie.
Yeah, we should. You know what? We'll give it a shot. Maybe I was just being too much of a troll.
Classic.
Classic Biggie. No, I'll give it another shot. It's gotten so much hype. Like, it just feels like it came out of nowhere and people are just, you know, really digging it. And I hate to not feel the same way about it, but, you know, man, I just didn't give it enough of a go.
Well, it's three-man teams and there's three of us, so.
Okay.
Okay. Ooh la la. There you have it. Catch us on the finals, baby. All right, folks. Well, this has been an episode. We're working out the format. We'll figure it out as we go along. Biggie Size might be back next week. Who knows? Or Sweaty Heart or anyone. It doesn't matter. But I think I'm going to drop the time at the beginning. I think that's done with. I think if I have a guest, I'm going to open the door up right away, have people come in right away.
Yeah, I think that sounds good. Just start from the very beginning with whoever you're going to have and just start bringing people on. It's like a party bus. You know, we're driving by. We see you on the side. You raise that hand. We pull you on, brother.
Pull you on, brother. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Again, stop into the Discord if you like. discord.gg/justokay. And, you know, say hi. We'll say hi back. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching. Check out Sweaty Heart's stream, twitch.tv/sweatyheart. Go say hi to him, too. Do that before you come on the Discord. And if you do come on the Discord, clean it up afterwards. We'll talk to you next time, folks.